Welcome to all the WIPH followers. It's this week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammett with Dan Bauer, Bill Berg, and Bill Berg Jr. Bill Berg Sr., by the way, happy birthday.
Thank you.
We won't disclose your age or anything, but
That's good. I'm old enough to be Bill Berg Jr.'s dad, and he's not exactly a spring chicken anymore either.
no, he's not. We don't do no preseason here. When we do this week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey, we jump in right in the middle of the season. So here we are. We are first show for the 25-26 season. And we'll do our best this year to keep you guys updated on everything. Right now, though, we got a something that we talked about as a staff, and we got to have a donation update, the team page sponsorship. Burglar, this is something that we talked about, and if you could describe it a little bit more and update the numbers, that'd be great.
Yes, I'd be happy to do that. If you're a regular viewer of Wisconsin Prep Hockey, yeah, I'm sure, I'm positive you know that the pop-up ads are gone. We have had, well, they didn't, well, I guess they were always pop-up ads, but for the last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, they were just small. On the bottom of the page or on the side of the page, small narrow ads could be a bit of annoying occasion, but not a real problem. Didn't get much flack for them, but the company that we got that from, a company called Underdog Media, they were bought this summer by ads.com and ads.com threw a whole bunch of new size ads at us. And as the different size ads showed up, they had a mechanism where you could say, don't show this size ad on our site. And every time a new size would come up, I'd say, don't show this size, don't show. And I did about 3 times. And then we said, okay. But those ads never stopped. And then the straw that really broke the camel's back where that diamonds are forever or whatever it was ad that started out as a square down in the lower left corner and then just blew up straight up, covered the whole right side of the page. And there was no way to get rid of it. The other ads had a little X you could click on, and these ads you couldn't get rid of. And I said, please take those down. They said, okay, we'll take those down right away. And a day later, they were back, and we discussed it, and we said, well, I mean, we get kind of our operating revenue out of those. Well, those ads basically cover our state tournament expenses. For all the stuff that we have to do at the state tournaments, the awards, our rooms at the state tournament, everything that goes on at the state tournament is basically covered by those ads. And we decided that we would we couldn't we couldn't put up with them anymore. So I know if they bothered us that much, they had to bother you guys a lot more. And we just pulled the plug on and we said, we tried working with you. We're done. Go away. So those ads are gone. So we have to come up with money for our state tournament coverage, which if you've been following, Wisconsin Prep Hockey for a long time, which if unless you're a coach, I don't know why you would. I mean, usually people follow Wisconsin Prep Hockey while their kids are in high school. But if you've been following longer, we used to do state tournament donation drives all the time. Like once the first of the year rolled around, we would do state tournament donation drives. until the actual state tournament. Well, we're doing it now. And the initial response was great. Like that first day, we got about 20% of our expected expenses covered. The last couple of days, it slowed down a little bit. We're up to about 25% now. But that leaves 75% to go. So if you didn't read the article, there's a good chance maybe you didn't, click and read that article. Anyway, it's on our page. Bill, what's it called again? A Change in the Wind, something like
A
that.
change in the winds at Wisconsin Prep Hockey. We need your support.
Yeah, and that's the one that you can click on, and there's different ways you can if you're really old, you can send a check. If you're pretty old, you can use PayPal. If you're younger, you can use Venmo. All kinds of ways of getting us money. Venmo seems to be the most common, most popular one right now. So, like I said, we have a ways to go. I'm not really sure what we'll do at the end of December if we don't get enough to cover our tournament, to cover our expenses. But don't make us make that decision. There's plenty of time. The story's out there, the reasons we do it. If you appreciate the fact that we got rid of those damned ads, show your gratitude in terms of cold hard cash. And that's about it for the donations. Why we got rid of those ads, why we need to make up for it, and maybe next year we will come up with something different. Hopefully, we got a while to come up with an alternative plan for next year. But for now, please help support Wisconsin Prep Hockey. Thank you.
All right, Bill. Thank you very much for that update on that. And it's I know it's kind of a tough thing to do, but it's gotta be done, and any help we can get, we'd sure appreciate. Let's move on to games of
Well,
the week.
we've also gotten unsolicited recommendations. Well, you guys should just go with a subscription model. And we don't want to go down that road. We don't
No.
want to make people pay to read our site. If you want to, go ahead and send us money. If you don't want to, go ahead and read the site anyway. We're not going to force you to pay to read our site. So the subscription model, never going to happen on my watch.
Damn paywalls, but that's another story coming up. Let's go to games of the week. Dan, you had a chance to see Black River Falls and the Warbirds.
Well, Dan was going to talk about paid sponsorships first.
Oh, okay. I can do all.
Follow the notes, NJ.
Yeah, okay. My bad. My
Yeah,
mistake. Go ahead,
so
Dan.
and another way you can help us out is to find a sponsor for your team's page, and that's a banner that will go across the top of your team's page, and we're offering those for $100, and we can have more than one if you have more people that are interested in doing that. But like one of our goals would be to try to get every team to have a paid sponsor, and we're off to a pretty decent start with that. I'm not exactly sure how many we have right now, but they're slowly starting to come in, and more people are taking advantage of that. But it's a way for you to donate to the site and help us with those expenses, and at the same time get a little bit of exposure advertising for
Your business or a business, even your booster club could do it any way that you want to do it. We can make that work. And if you don't have specially designed ads or anything like that, we can also put that stuff together for you. So that's, you can just contact me. My email's around on the site quite a few different places, and I'm kind of handling that, or at least like the point person for that to start with. So yeah, if you reach out to me, I can help you figure that all out. We can get that going.
And
No,
just
no offense, MJ. It's everybody's first podcast of the season, so you're allowed to make the one mistake. And to piggyback on Dan's thing, I mean, if we could get sponsors for every team page, we wouldn't really even be having the discussion about donations. Yeah,
and
advertising. If we got enough advertising, we wouldn't need the donations. So, one way or the other.
At $100, a team page sponsorship is actually kind of a fantastic value. I know that for my home rink here in Weston, a wall sign ad on the backside of the rink is $800. An ad on the boards is $2,200. An ad that appears on the boards on Live Barn is $2,000. We're asking for $100 for the team page. I think that that's a pretty good value if you have a business in whatever city. I think that it's a great value, and you should really think about it.
It's always good just to show support for the team as well. Now, should we try it again? Game of the week?
There you go.
All righty.
Back on track.
Dan, Black River Falls was at the Warbirds. You had a first-hand look at that game.
Yes, traveled to Fond du Lac on Friday. Drove through a little bit of snow about half the way there, and got down there to see two teams that really had really good seasons a year ago, and both of them bringing back a lot of familiar faces. So I would expect both these teams will be in the hunt for the state tournament when we get to February. So I was expecting a pretty entertaining, pretty good game, and that's exactly what was delivered. So the Black River Falls, a very defensive oriented team, probably their two best players, and actually led their team in scoring a year ago, both defensemen. And then for Fond du Lac, they have an exceptional sophomore goalie, Kennedy Coleman, who is probably as good as any goalie in the state right now. And so it was a defensive battle. Black River really had a decided advantage in shots throughout the game, out shooting Fond du Lac 48-19 over the course of three periods, an 8-minute overtime, and a 3-on-3 5-minute overtime. Fond du Lac got on the board first, just with 38 seconds left in the first period. One of their freshmen, Brennelyn Getz, scored a goal from in close on Coleman and gave the Warbirds that 1-0 lead, even though they'd been outshot 13-4 in the period. Again, Coleman was very sharp right from the beginning. Second period, scoreless. Third period, Piper Matheson took the puck down the right side, cut in at the dot, got in tight on Coleman, and just was able to find that little space, that top short side corner, right where the crossbar and the post meet, and she managed to get that puck in there to tie the game. That was at 11:31 of the third period. In the original first three periods, Fond du Lac got a 5-minute power play on a major called against Black River, and then in the overtime they got another 5-minute power play on another major called against Black River Falls. So Coleman's got to see a lot of pucks in the power play situation. Or excuse me, that was the other way around. So Black River Falls in the third period in overtime had 27 shots, but could not solve Coleman another time. And we, as I said, we went to the 8 minute 5-on-5 overtime, and then the 3-on was intended to be the 3-on-3 double overtime. Started as a 4-on-3 about 45 seconds in, and they never actually got to 3-on-3 because they played the last 4 minutes and I think 10 seconds of the overtime without a whistle, so it ended up being mostly a 4-on-4. But when it was all said and done, the two teams tied, and mostly because of the heroics of Coleman throughout the game. Again, just had an outstanding game and was able to keep them at bay. And one of the things that struck me really during the course of the game was the coach for Black River. Most of the time, I think if a coach would get 2 5-minute majors whistled against them in a game and one of them coming in overtime, I probably see a lot of coaches maybe kind of lose their emotional control a little bit. And he was just so matter of fact about it. And I asked him about it a little bit after the game, and he says, we teach the kids to control what you can control. And he said, we need to model that as coaches. And I can't control what they call, and when they call it, it's they're not going to change their minds. So I thought that was good. I was really interested, and I think he's a really good coach. And I think that was one of the things right there that proved that he modeled some really great behavior, kind of a trying time. So yeah, great game, entertaining. Enjoyed it from start to finish. And I had the chance to see Kennedy play up close this fall. She played for the Wisconsin Selects for me for part of the fall when one of our goaltenders got hurt, and she's the real deal. So she's a lot of fun to watch. Alexa Moore, also really good goaltender for Black River. She finished with 18 saves. Got tested a few times on some really good plays, but mostly it was the Kennedy Coleman show.
All right, Dan, thank you very much for that report on that game of the week. The Warbirds hosting Black River Falls. Now, Junior, you had the chance to, on paper, this looked like a pretty doggone good game. Notre Dame Academy, the Tritons, and Stevens Point, Spash, as they're called. I thought, wow, this must be a pretty good game, but it kind of was one-sided. Why don't you give us all the details?
In part, I want to say it wasn't as one-sided as the score would indicate. The final score, 9-3, Spash with the win. But I say that, but Notre Dame was never really in it. Just a minute 10 into the game, Spash took a 5-minute major for checking from behind with a 10-minute misconduct. And Notre Dame had 3 minutes and 33 seconds of power play time. And they got one shot on goal during that 3:33. Then they took a holding penalty of their own because Spash's PK was just too fast for them to handle at that point of the game. In that killed the rest of the penalty. But that kind of summed up how the first period was. Spash just came out and metaphorically kind of punched Notre Dame in the face with their speed. They were just all over the puck, attacking aggressively. They ended up scoring 2 goals in that period, and out shooting the Tritons 13-6 in that first period, just with overwhelming speed. Notre Dame came out a little stronger in the second period, showed some signs of life. They actually got the first goal of the period. Braden Hart scored on one of Notre Dame's many power play opportunities in the game. In the game, Spash took 8 penalties, Notre Dame took 6. But after Hart scored, it was all Panthers for the rest of the second period, and they just did it consistently. They scored at 5:55. They scored again 2 minutes later. They scored again 2 minutes after that. They scored 2.5 minutes after that. And then they scored another one at 15:45 of the period to rattle off 5 goals, just workmanlike, just wearing them down. So that at the end of 2 periods, it was 7-1 Spash. And then each team tacked on 2 goals in the third period to make it the final 9-3. It was a very fast game, and over the course of the game, even though Spash had that huge second period, Notre Dame did start to catch up as things moved along. But Spash was rolling, 3 full lines, and if you were just watching skating speed, you wouldn't have been able to tell much difference between the first and the third. They're fast all the way down the lineup. Grant Molsky and Grady Miller both come back for their senior seasons this year. Jackson Schrader has graduated and moved on, and his brother Fletcher now skates on the first line with Miller and Molsky. And there's another Schrader on the second line, that's Bo. Spash just kind of reloaded both of last year's excellent goalies for them. Eric Suzuki and Zachary Burdick are back this year. Spash went 24-0 last year before their shocking exit in the regional final against Chippewa Falls. And I think, it'll be hard to repeat that performance, but I think they're on a mission to do it again. They look fantastic.
I think we don't want to repeat that performance.
Well, they don't want to repeat the playoff portion of it, but the regular season part.
Right. We were on our way down to Milwaukee, and Brett was in the back seat of the car, and he was watching the game on his phone on Zielinski Sports. And yeah, that second period, up 4-1, up 5-1, up 6-1. Oh, 7-1. He was just like, yeah, he just kept rattling off the point goals.
Yeah, they just kept on pushing, and the I guess bugaboo about Spash in this game was that they play incredibly fast and incredibly aggressively. They forecheck hard, they play incredibly hard in the defensive zone, which means they took eight penalties. So Notre Dame had chances, and when Spash plays other strong teams like that, they're probably going to take penalties against them too, just because of their style of play. You didn't see that in their early season games against Middleton and East Merrill because they didn't have to play that aggressively against those two teams, no offense to them. But it'll be interesting to see how many penalties they take Tuesday against Wausau West or Thursday against the Bay Area Storm, which sounds weird to say. So it'll be interesting to see if they continue to be that penalty heavy, because it's hard to play down that often.
Well, they have always had a very aggressive penalty kill, and they're so fast that they can be aggressive because most high school players can't think fast enough to find the open guy, because there's always an open guy on when you have the power play, but they put so much pressure on the other team that they usually can't find an open guy and end up coughing up the puck.
I mean, that's how they got out of the 5-minute major to open the game. Their PK was just so aggressive that a Notre Dame player had no choice but to like wrap up a Spash player and draw a holding penalty, which ended the major power play. I mean, Notre Dame was an excellent looking team. They played standard Notre Dame hockey. They were making beautiful tape-to-tape passes. They were moving the puck. It's just when they moved it, they had nowhere to go because all of a sudden there'd be two guys on them immediately.
I would imagine the way Spash ended last season, those guys had probably the whole off season to think about that, and they I imagine that didn't sit very well with them when they looked to make amends about that this year. Like you guys said, they're probably on a mission this year.
I will say, after watching, I think it was 13 at the time, squirt games this year, it was very hard to take pictures of this game. It was very fast.
All right, Junior. Nice reporting there. Dan, nice job by you. Our games of the week. We'll give you our games coming up this week here in a little bit. Let's move on to our girls player of the week. And Dan Bauer, you got a pretty good winner this week of the girls player of the week. She was fantastic.
Yeah, kind of already kind of gave it away a little bit talking about our game, I think. But yeah, our player of the week for the girls is Kennedy Coleman, as we talked about, sophomore for the Fond du Lac Warbirds. And Fond du Lac started their games, their first games they played were this week, kind of a brutal week. They played Tuesday and Thursday, both away games, and then Friday. So three games they played in a span of 4 days, and kind of showed a little bit in that first period. But Kennedy had a great week. She won all three games. They beat Brookfield 3-1. She had 21 saves. They beat Arrowhead 3-1. She had 18 saves. And then, of course, the 1-1 tie to Black River. She had 47 saves. So a 96 save percentage for the week. And as I said earlier, like she has the ability to keep them in any game, I think, against any opponent. So it'll be fun to watch her throughout the year. My honorable mention this week would go to Western Wisconsin's Stella Olson. She's a freshman goaltender, and she got her first start as a freshman, and it was a 33 save shutout against Bloomington Jefferson across the border in Minnesota. So great start for her as a freshman. So Kennedy is our player. Girls Player of the Week, and Stella Olson is my honorable mention for the week.
All right, Dan, thank you very much. Our boys player of the week is Austin Martinson. Speaking of freshmen, he is a freshman goalie for the Indigo Red Robins. Tuesday, in a 2-1 loss to Mosinee, he gave his team every chance they could to stay in this game. 60 saves, 2 goals allowed. Yes, 6-0 saves. Thursday, 6-3 win over Medford. 29 saves, 3 goals allowed, still pretty good. Saturday, 6-3 win over Oka, 47 saves, 3 goals allowed. That's a 95% save percentage. That's going to win you some games, guys. When you're making saves at 95%, that's some pretty good numbers. So Austin Martinson, great week for the young man from Anigo, Red Robins goaltender. He's our boys player of the week.
Yeah, he's going to have a lot of weeks like that. Anigo's actually got 16 players on the roster this year, which is more than they've had the last several seasons. 8 of those 16 players, including Martinson, are freshmen. They have eight
And what?
freshmen,
Oh,
two so
sorry, go ahead.
eight freshmen, two sophomores, four juniors, two seniors.
And what it didn't say in that thing is that that 2-1 loss to Mosinee was in overtime. So he did. I think the shots were 62-17 in that game. So he kept them in it, through regulation. Did not hold on like Kennedy Coleman did, to get the tie, to end up with a tie. They did give up a goal in the overtime period. But yeah, for a freshman, welcome to high school hockey. Don't let it overwhelm you. Apparently it didn't. Anigo this year has a new coach, Nick Novy, who played high school in Anigo, played hockey, youth hockey, with the younger Bill Berg over there on my left. I was his coach as a peewee, so yeah, we know Nick Novy very well. Wish him good luck with the Robins this season. Hopefully we'll see them somewhere down the line. I think this group of fresh this group is going to grow this season, and over the next 3 years, it should be fun to watch.
All right, Bill. Bill Jr., I see here we're going to talk top sixes next
Yeah.
week, correct?
Well, voting starts next week. We can talk about the early part of the season this year if we want, but voting starts next week. Right now, I was looking over the boys over the weekend and then over the last week, and right now it looks like Spash and Neenah are the two teams to beat, like they were most of last season. In our final poll last season before the state tournament, Spash was one, Brookfield was two, Neenah was three. I don't know about Brookfield so far this year, but I know that Spash and Neenah are up there at or near the top again. They're both playing excellent hockey right now.
I know for Brookfield, can't think of the one young man's name. He's in the USHL right now. And Connor Hillig is playing here in Janesville for the Janesville Jets. And he's played almost every game so far this year, and he's got 6 goals. So he's off to a pretty good start here in his junior hockey career.
In
All
Division
right.
Two, in Division Two, I would like to say that Tomahawk is again, the presumptive leader in Division Two, but the WIAA, in their infinite wisdom, not bending at all with their competitive balance thing, has moved the smallest public school team in the state, the smallest public school team in the state, with its own hockey team, moved them to Division One because they had the temerity to go to the state tournament 2 years ago and win it last year. So they're now Division One.
And if you look at the things that the WIAA said they would look at on appeal, like kids coming up, size of school, economic reality of the place you live in, I'm sorry, but Tomahawk is not a wealthy town. I cannot see any justification for moving Tomahawk up to Division One. Yes, they would have been the presumptive favorite in Division Two this year, but come on. It's. As far as I'm concerned, this is a gross miscarriage of justice.
It is. I mean,
Yeah.
we all know, and we've all railed before what the WIAA doing stupid things, but in my mind, this ranks right up there as number one. Bill, how far is Tomahawk removed from having a 0-win season?
It's only like 5 or 6 years now. Not even that. I think it's 5 years.
Yeah, it's less than that.
5 years ago, they didn't win a single game, and
That
they
was
got
that was
it.
I believe that was Austin Lamer's freshman year. They had 0 wins, and he was a senior last year on their championship team. Tomahawk has literally never been good. No offense to the people from Tomahawk. You've had some good seasons. Tomahawk has never had a state tournament caliber team before, and now after doing it. They went 1 year and they won it the next. Now they're a Division One team, a school that last year's enrollment was 353 is going to play in the same division as the Muskego Co-op with 16,819. Or if you want to go to a single school, Middleton with 2,388.
And they've now
Come
entered
on.
the section of death, because they're playing in the same, Division One, Section One, with Superior, Hudson, Oakland Memorial, Wausau West, and Splash. So yeah, good luck getting the state tournament to the smallest school in the state. And I know Bill's gonna we're gonna get a lot of complaints from the folks in Tomahawk, who will remind us that back in the mid-90s, the terrific 12, I believe, is the clock that they have in their concession stand. The 12 seniors who did make the state tournament back in the mid-90s. And
1991.
what was that?
1991, they went.
Okay. And not to begrudge those players their state tournament, but that year in their same section was Antigo and Mosinee, which had each beaten Tomahawk like twice during the season. But those two teams ended up getting a fight into a fight at the end of the at the end of the their one game last end of the regular season. They are both disqualified from the state tournament. So Tomahawk was probably the third seeded team in the section that year, and went to state. Not to begrudge the terrific 12. They went down there, they played their game, and then came home. But it is nothing like the Tomahawk team they have now. And it's because it's a small town. I mean, they basically do it with two lines, because that's what a small town does. So they're going to end up playing in the same section, with teams that can throw four lines out there at them. It's a shame, and I feel bad for the Tomahawk guys. I know they have the attitude of, it is, that's the way it is. We just, do whatever they tell us to do, and we'll go out and play hockey, and whoever they make us play against, that's who we'll play.
Yeah, I mean, at least publicly, Tomahawk is not nearly as mad about being moved up to Division One as we are for them. I can
Yes.
already hear some arguments from people saying, "Well, you didn't complain when St. Mary Springs was moved up to Division One," and no, we did not. And I'll tell you why I didn't. It's because St. Mary Springs draws the overwhelming majority of their players from Fond du Lac Youth Hockey, which is a large Division One WAHA program. And for the last 10, 15 years, Springs has been the better team than the Fond du Lac Public School. So I don't treat Springs like a 263-person private school. I treat them like the primary draw of a large Division One WAHA program. Tomahawk is not that. Tomahawk is a tiny little town surrounded by water.
There might be one other, or just I just got to throw out for Division One. Fox City's off to a 5-0 start. It looks like they have played pretty well so far. So it'll be interesting to see where they go. They have Fond du Lac this week, the public Fond du Lac on Tuesday. But they beat Appleton United. They beat the Bay Area Storm. I'm not sure how they fit into all this yet, and they hammered Springs 10-1, so it'll be interesting. But I mean, good start for them. They finished really strong at the end of last year with a new coach. It'll be interesting to see what they if they can keep that going.
Well, and you got to wonder too if, Notre Dame or, Corey McCracken, since he's not there anymore, if Notre Dame has lost their grip on the Fox Valley area players. I talked to a guy this summer who his son played for Notre Dame, and his youngest son is a freshman this year. And he decided to play with the kids he grew up with. I'm not really sure which school it is, but he's playing with them, not with Notre Dame. And I forget that guy's name, but Brett told me about a kid who played for Notre Dame as a freshman and a sophomore, but is now playing for Fox Cities this year. So I think Notre Dame may have lost their grip on the Fox on their stranglehold on talent in the Fox Valley area.
Yeah, the Andrew Osterman's the kid from Notre Dame that went back to Fox City. So he's a Kimberly kid, but left to go to Notre Dame. But he's back. He's actually got 17 points already this year. So he's having a pretty good year.
It's off to a good
17
start.
points already. Wow, okay.
How about the girls, Dan?
I would say right now it's if you're looking at Spash as the dominant team in the boys and the D1 right now, Bay Area is looking like they're every bit as good as they were a year ago. They're off to a 5-0 start. They've now won 28 straight games last year and this year. They beat Western Wisconsin 8-2, which was a really shocking game for me to see, because I think if I had to rate the girls today, I would rate Bay Area 1 and Western Wisconsin probably 2. So I'm not sure what exactly happened that night, but yeah, Bay Area is off to a great start. They got Brunke back scoring a lot of goals, and Von Hayden is a really good goal scorer for them, and then they've got Dahl and McDonald on defense, who are both going to be playing for St. Norbert next year. And then the most underrated goalie in the state was Spearing, who has got a 96.8 save percentage right now. So But yeah, Western Wisconsin, they're 4-1. They lost the game to Bay Area, but other than that, they have played really well so far. They have a big game tomorrow night against the Fusion. That should be interesting because I think the Fusion is also going to be pretty good this year. So those would probably be my my top two at this point. There's a whole bunch of teams that are in the mix right now, though just too early to really tell what's going on. Lakeshore got off to a pretty good start, beat the Storm in their first game, and then have won won four since then. They did get beat by Bay Area also. So yeah, I think it's going to be an interesting year. But yeah, right now Bay Area just looks like they're on a mission to do exactly what they did a year ago.
Oh, and yeah, I forgot that. Getting back to Division Two, I didn't actually talk about Division Two because got caught up in the whole rant on Tomahawk, but they're not Division Two anymore. From their very own Great Northern Conference, Northland Pines seems to be off to a good start this year. They got three lines of players. Good defenseman and excellent goaltender. So Northland Pines is looking good. McFarland, I think, down in the Madison area. And of course, our good friends over in Western Wisconsin from Amory and Somerset are always tough, always strong teams. In fact, in a game I originally had planned to go to, before the weather forecast turned it against me, in the rematch of the state championship game from last year, Tomahawk beat Amory 4-2 earlier this a couple like a week or so ago.
Oregon's undefeated, I think, too. They're 4-0 also, so they're off to a good start.
Speaking of games of the week, what we're looking here, got some of these games already set up. Thursday, Cooley Region on the girls' side, going to go over and play the ECA Stars. And on Saturday, the Marathon Cup Championship game. That's always an interesting one to see who ends up in that, in the Marathon Cup Championship game. Dan, you got the Cooley Region at Eau Claire area. How do you handicap that one?
Claire, I saw them play a couple periods at the Gobbler Cup. They look fast. Their goaltending is solid. They got Pritzel back at net, and she's very good. They got a freshman that's really good. I think it's going to be really good. So they're quick. I don't know if they're quite as good as they were last year. And then I think Cooley, this is now their second year with their new coach after they kind of hit rock bottom there a couple years ago. I think they won one or two games. And then last year they were a little bit better under the new coach, and now this is his second year. So they've been more competitive this year. So it'll be interesting to see. They have a couple nice players for sure. I would think Eau Claire would have the advantage, but that's why they make them play.
Absolutely right. The Marathon Cup Championship game. Guys, is that going to be on Saturday?
I will be at the rink anyway. After my second squirt game of Saturday ends, they'll play the second round of Marathon Cup games and then the championship game. So I figured I might as well just stick around and hide in the locker room until I don't have to pay.
That'll work.
But the first round starts on Thursday. Wausau West will play Wausau East Merrill. And then Mosinee will play DC Everest. And as usual in the Marathon Cup, no offense to East Merrill, but Mosinee versus DC Everest is usually the swing game to see how the second day is going to turn out. I think right now Mosinee is better at scoring goals than Everest, but Everest has better goaltending. So that game could go either way. It should be a close one. And then the championship game will be probably be the winner of Mosinee Everest against Wausau West, unless, something strange happens. that hasn't happened in about 30 years.
Well, and at this point, I would like to again mention the threat of snow making me a coward and afraid to drive, because I would love to go up to Tomahawk tomorrow night to watch Northland Pines and Tomahawk play. But we're under winter weather advisory starting at noon tomorrow, and my wife won't let me go.
I may end up there. I haven't decided yet. I'm going to see what the weather does, but I might find myself there tomorrow night.
I don't know about you guys how often it happens, but this early in the year, but we got a lot of snow down here already. And, we're not even talking December 10th yet. And I would bet you I've got probably a good 12 to 15 inches of snow on the ground here in Janesville. It's a lot. But the nice thing is we're not getting as much of that stuff as you guys are going to get, as it sounds like.
I want to go back to Northland Pines for a second. Burglar was talking about how they seem to be on the right track again after a couple down years. They have 13 freshmen on the roster this year. Those freshmen were all likely bantams last year. Eagle River finished second in the Bantam 2A state tournament last year, losing the championship game to New Richmond 4-2. So those are quality bantams that are now freshmen this year. We all know how good New Richmond has been the last 6 or 7 years, and I know from talking to everybody at Everest Youth Hockey the last couple of years that New Richmond is very good all the way through their program right now. So
It's another one of those towns. I mean, it's much bigger than Tomahawk, but yet, it's smaller than say like an Eau Claire. What does New Richmond have for a population or school attendance? Can't be that high.
they are right, they're right on the bubble, between Division One and Division Two.
Well, sort of. Their enrollment the last year was 1088, which meant there were 6 Division II schools bigger than them. So 1088, you get up to like Stoughton, who is 1270. They were the biggest, and then the Northwest Icemen petitioned to play down their co-op there, like 1700. So 1088, New Richmond is on the larger quarter of the Division II programs, but they're not like the huge. The city of New Richmond is about 10,000 people. And it's not like they draw from everywhere, because right around them you have Amory and Somerset and Baldwin Woodville and River Falls and Rice Lake, and it's not like they're a big draw that would, grant them enrollment outside their community. Like, everybody up there has their own hockey team.
It sounds like they got a very quality youth program. Well, guys, one of the things, just because I know people, is as we get to final thoughts here, if nobody wants to mention anything else quick. Okay. I'm the one who wants to get on a little bit of a rant here. Well, maybe not much, but my final thought is tonight, well, yesterday, I went through WIPH and I was going to update scores from Saturday, and there was a lot of empty ones. And usually I can go to the newspaper or other sources and get the scores, just quick score them up because I know somebody will enter it later. And the newspapers that I go to are now all paywall. So I can't necessarily, unless the game is a story, you're going to have a hard time getting a score for it. That's why I'm asking, please, that when you have a final score, please go go ahead and send it to us one way or another. We got email address, we got texts, we got, whatever you got. You can even go on X and put it on the, WIPH there. And we like to stay up, cutting edge of, if we got a good game and you want to know what happened and you can't find a score, well, it helps if somebody would just get us a score. It's really not that difficult. We have many different ways of getting them. So please get the scores in. Makes us look good. And also, it doesn't, the score sheet entering and stuff, that can come later. You can do that at a different time. But what we want right away, please, is the final score. And that's pretty much all I got because there is two boys games tonight. And I got the final score from one of them already.
That's good.
I have people at the game, so.
The one thing that MJ didn't mention was for the either the coaches or whoever they have designated as their official enter the score, you don't have to enter the score. You don't have to enter the whole, you don't have to enter the score sheet. You don't have to enter all that details right away. But we have the quick score thing on there. Just hit the quick score, put the score of the game in, and fill it in later when you get home or the next morning, whatever. But get the score in there as soon as possible. I know, because I know the kids check the scores, like for an away game, they'll check the scores on the bus on their way home to see how the other teams did. So, I mean, at the very least, just use the quick score, get the score in there, and then, do the rest when you have more time.
It would
I
be
mean,
much appreciated.
I used to be able to get scores off Twitter. I'm not going to call it X, off Twitter. But a lot of the team page accounts that we follow are no longer active. Like they haven't posted in, two seasons, three seasons, four seasons anymore. And I can see even in the statistics for, everything that goes up on our site gets automatically posted to Twitter. If it's got a photo, it gets posted to Facebook. And just for funsies, because their user bases are small, they also go out to Blue Sky and Threads and Mastodon. So we hit all the social media. But the number of people who actually see our stuff when we post it on Twitter has shrank dramatically over the last 3 years, 4 years. I forget what year it got sold. It has shrank dramatically. So, like, teams aren't posting on there anymore. People aren't reading on there anymore. It's harder for us to find scores. And since there isn't that one dominant social platform anymore where people are posting their scores and reading, it's that much harder to find them. Like, MJ's talking about newspapers paywalling. Just even getting scores. That's the newspapers that still even bother to post them. Because so many have just gutted their local sports sections over the last 10 years that there's so many of the newspapers that we used to like share their articles in the around the state section, and they haven't posted a hockey article in 5 years now. It's hard out there. So if you're not reporting the scores to us, there's no way we can find them because they're not on social media anymore. They're not in the newspaper anymore. And obviously there's four of us, not 40 of us. So we can't be in every rink every night. So send it in. Do we need to reopen the text line that we used to have for people to text in scores? Maybe. I don't know how that works.
yeah, it's pretty simple. I feel like it's, part of your duty as a coach to get that score in. And I know when I was coaching, on the bus or whatever, when I would get home from home games, I always went right to the computer to look to see how our teams did that night. And it is frustrating.
Hey,
Frustrating when the score doesn't get put up, and then also frustrating when there's no score sheet up for like 3 days. That's
Yeah, I mean,
equally.
like next week, the regular weekly newsletter will start going out to coaches again, which will remind them. But I'll post them a whole big list of unscored games for them. But I mean, like during the playoffs, I believe schools are required within like an hour of the end of the game to report the score to the WIA.
Yes.
Treat your whole season like that. If you don't feel comfortable entering the quick score on the site, which takes all of 8 seconds, just email us, text us, send us the score. We'll do it. Burglar's retired. I don't sleep, so we'll figure it out.
I'm up at 4:30 in the morning. Like, unlike others that are on this chat right now, but it's another discussion for another day. Anything else, guys? I'll take that as a no. All right. Well, for Burglar, happy birthday, Junior, and Dan Bauer. I'm Mike Hammett. Next week, we'll get those top sixes out. You can check them out next week on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.